picture's worth a thousand words. Well, I believe there's more than a thousand words within that. You know, Candy, she sang about that this morning. You know, but here we are in Colossians chapter 4. And verse 5. Bible says, walk in the wisdom of God as you live before the unbelievers. Walk in the wisdom of God as you live before the unbelievers, and make it your duty to make him known. And there's a footnote here. It says in the Aramaic, it says, can be translated, sell your last crust of bread, which is a metaphor for making him known. Do everything you can to make him known. And you know, here at Christmas time, you know, it's a wonderful time to make him known. But anyway, it says walk in wisdom. And I seen something the other day in Proverbs chapter 3, you know, I was hoping some of the younger guys would be here today. But, you know, we thank wisdom for, all the gray-headed folks sitting around, but that's not necessarily so, is it? I mean, I know some pretty foolish older people, and I'm sure y'all do too, but, you know, but it's a pleasure to come in here with y'all guys and pick y'all's brain and learn what you've learned and from the Lord, and I love that. But here in Proverbs 3, I'll read something, and I'll backtrack on it, but it says, for the father's discipline comes only from his passionate love and pleasure for you. Even when it seems like his correction is harsh, it's still better than any father on the earth gives a child. Those who find true wisdom obtain the tools for understanding the proper way to live, for they will have a fountain of blessings pouring into their lives. You know, David, you just talked about that bridge falling out from under you. You know, when we follow the Lord, that happens. To gain the riches of wisdom is far greater than gaining the wealth of the world. As wisdom increases, a great treasure is imparted. You know, last week I was talking about the treasure that's in us. It says a great treasure is imparted, greater than many bars of refined gold. It is more valuable commodity than gold and gemstones, for there is nothing you desire that can compare to her. Wisdom extends to your long life in one hand, and wealth and promotion in the other. Out of her mouth flows righteousness, and her words release both law and mercy. The ways of wisdom are sweet, always drawing you into the place of wholeness. Seeking for her brings this discovery of untold blessings, for she is the healing tree of life to those who taste her. But you know, and I want to back up here. It says in verse 7, 37, it says, don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes. Now here's how wisdom comes to us. Wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion. You know, a young person can very easily tap into that wisdom.
So read that again, how you said that.
It's from the past. Young person. Oh, you want to read this?
Yeah.
It says, for wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong.
See, bless two parts. Bless the Lord.
And then you will find, you will find the healing refreshment your body and your spirit longs for. Wow. You know, that's something within you that just longs for the wisdom of that God. And the wisdom is what? Knowing him.
And the next verse is about the tithe.
Yes, ma'am. I wasn't gonna go there for the second time, but.
For protection, once you get the wisdom, you need that protection.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and read my book. It says, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your very best. With every increase that comes to you, then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings. And the tithe. That's amazing, isn't it? But I'm in the shower this morning, I was thinking about, Miss Barry, she always talking about eagle-eyed Isaiah. And you remember me talking about Isaiah, how it was the 66, this and that. But I'm going to read this to you, then I'm going to go something like, the Lord showed me in Isaiah this morning as I was taking a shower. It says, Max Lucado wrote, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been for money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior.
Amen.
And that's what you sang about this morning. Mm-hmm. Savior.
That's right.
Savior. So I want everybody this Christmas season, reflect on him as our Savior.
Amen.
Yeah.
And
because he grabbed God's hand and ours and became the bridge that we couldn't cross because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's a filter between the righteous God and the unrighteous mankind.
But as I was in the shower this morning, I was thinking about Isaiah, and a perfect number, the Bible says he sent the Lord Jesus to us, and Emmanuel, God with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, seven, I'm kind of one of these folks in the numbers. I love numbers, I believe the verses and all match up, but, seven's a perfect number for God, and he uses that number a lot, the seven spirits and this and that, but seven's a perfect number of God, and
number of completion.
Yes, ma'am. And I got to thinking about that, and Isaiah crossed my mind, and I thought, well, God sent a man to, Jesus, all God, 100% God, 100% man.
Yes.
I was thinking along them lines, and I got, well, if you multiply or seven, double it, it's 14, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason I got thinking Isaiah 7:14. I didn't know what it said, but Isaiah 7:14 come in my mind, and this is what Isaiah 7:14 says. It says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will name him God among us. Isaiah 7:14. The wisdom God can put in numbers and tell him, future. And, but anyway, I'll leave that with you. And but the Lord is good. Amen.
And his mercy forever.
And all the wisdom of God was brought about, through a child, and given to us through Christ. So let me finish about Isaiah. I was thinking about Isaiah, these books of the Bible, the seventh being the book of Judges. It's got the story of Deborah in there, and the story of Samson, and those. I got to think of, those people defeated their enemies, in the book of Judges. And I got thinking, what's the 14th book of the Bible? And I looked that up. It's 2 Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles is all about building a temple. Or it starts out that way, all about building a temple. And I thought about that, how God came, said it, Book of Judges. Judge sin. So that he could build a temple in us.
Yes, that's beautiful.
That's awesome.
I appreciate the Lord, you know, about him showing you kind of, you know, I love that about the Lord, don't y'all? You know, that's why my ears is tender when I say stuff like that. I hear you use simple things, but the Lord is good.
Amen.
Well, come on, bro. We got time to do this. It's kind of on my heart, too. You know the words of come let us adore him? Kind of right off. You know, the Bible, you know, we just read that as we adore him, he pours that wisdom into our lives and shows us himself.
Yes. And things to come.
And things to come.
And avoid the potholes. He tells you things to come.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right, hang on.
He told me once I was going home, he says, don't go down Ross Bridge Drive. I'm saying, but that's a straight shot. He says, don't go down Ross Bridge. Got pulled over and got a $200 ticket. Yeah, right at $200. So he was telling me to go the long way for a reason. Again, telling me things to come.
Yeah. Speed trap.
Speed trap.
Jeez. I'm trying to get this thing to work. Keep talking. It won't take just a second. Let's see.
This is good, Dave.
That was awesome. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, come all ye faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Is that the...
Come let us adore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and born, come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, James.
God is good. Oh, I love it. You know, we're in an adventure. Our whole life is, and the road to, when you follow God, that's an adventure all by itself. And all kind of things happen when you follow God. I said, you know, I thought about those early vows that I made, how I would obey him. Every time the Lord lead me and I obey him, I don't regret, I enjoy it. But I remember when it was such a challenge. But every time something I finish and I see how good it is and how it helped people, it made me more interested. And then your joy increases. So there's great joy in trusting God. Something happens to every aspect of your life. Amen. When you're in obedience to God.
Amen.
You ever wonder, how did men get rid of the giants? They were stronger, faster, smarter. Obedience to God. That was giants in Moses' day. Here comes Joshua in Israel. And drove them out of the land. They didn't drive them all out, but they drove a lot of them out.
Caleb had a following spirit, and he survived and took, in his 80s,
yeah,
the mountain with the giants on.
They were terrified of Caleb, because Caleb had faith. When the darkness that covers the earth is no match for people who obey God. When you, as we trust Him, your joy increases, your joy, you know, your joy is your strength. Your peace multiplies. Your expectation gets trained. When one reason people don't trust God, they trust His word. They trust Him on that, on the word level. But trusting what the Holy Spirit commands, you know, gives you to do. He'll guide you into all truth. And as He do, you have to receive it. When that happens, that's where your trust comes from. Remember, trust comes from relationship. Whoever you trust is because of the past relationship.
We know their character.
Yeah. They were good to you in the past. They kept their word in the past. You know, some people would trust me to do right, to not backbite, whatever. But they won't trust me to be on time. I ran late for years because I just did. I was always doing too much. And I work up to the last minute. I wouldn't just get to work on the dot or a few minutes after. I would also leave on the dot or a few minutes. It's a habit. And I had to deal with it. And it took prayer, it took prayer to deal with that. So my coworker there say, "You trust her?" "Oh yeah, yeah." "Will it be on time?" I said, "Flip on a coin." People trust you for different reasons. So it forms from the past, from how you do things. And I had to work on that. My dad was that way. My dad's cousin told me, he said, "I used to love to watch Uncle," they call my dad Bobby. He said, "I used to love to watch Bobby. Every morning I watch him get ready to go to work. The guys will come up there to pick him up. He'll be feeding the dogs. Then he'll run, get his lunchbox. Then he'll go feed another. The water will turn over. He'll pour water. And they blowing the horn." He did this every day. And Lewis would get up and watch it every morning. Because that's how my daddy was. But he mastered it. When I knew him, after I was born, he'd get to work 30 minutes early. But I had to deal with the same thing. I get up, I sleep till the last minute, then I get up rushing and running, and that's how I do. But nevertheless, people trust you for how you respond, how you do things. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. The secret to trusting the Lord is enjoying Him. If you treasure His words, that's what you're receiving. And that word gets in you like fire shut up in your bones. The word has motivation in it. If you study the word, you will want to study it more. Back in the days when Jimmy Swaggart was preaching, a friend of mine, he lived with us. He lived at our house. His mother had died, and he fell out with his dad. We were about 18, so we had the same shift. We were best friends, so he moved. He stayed with us. And one Sunday, I was watching. Jimmy Swaggart came on before we went to church. And Barry said, "I said the sinner's prayer." And one day he just sat there and read the Proverbs for hours. He said, "Man, this is good." The word charges your heart. It makes you want to, you want more of it. There's strength in it. There's motivation in it. All right, when the Lord gives you a fresh word and enlightens your understanding, it's revelation to you. There's joy in it by itself. And when He gives you a word for somebody else, there's joy in it or something to do, and you act on it. But when you act on it, over time it's going to work. And nothing happens at first. It's just like planting a seed of corn in the ground. You don't see anything. But after a while, you got your stalk.
Yeah.
So when you act on God's word, over time you look back, you fall for a while, you see nothing, hear nothing. You'll be doing activity, doing what God said do. As long as you're in the peace, it's working. So I used to listen to Charles Capps, and Charles Capps always taught about confessions. Mm-hmm. Everything that challenged me, I would use a confession to kill it, or to gain ground. And I used to be overly concerned about how I seemed, how people would take it, and all this, and whether people would understand or not. But over here, in the prayer room, God's telling me what to do, and it's wise. I hear among people, it's not easily received. And I said, as long as I do what God say, I'm all right. As long as I speak His word, I'm okay. I would say that. As long as I do what's right, speak His word, and obey Him, I'm okay. I would just confess that. It got in my heart. So that I would have courage or bravery, whatever I needed to go forward. Long story short, I saw what God wanted to do, and I saw man not doing it. And I wondered the will of man became puzzling to me. I said, God can make a universe. He can make every animal, know the hairs on our heads. And He know all this information. But the will of man it seems to be an obstacle to God. Why? How come people won't give in to God and learn? They keep doing things their own way, and they can't. If you don't trust Him, you'll only go so far. If you study the Word and do what the Word say, you'll go so far. But when you follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, He's not going to deviate from the Word. He's the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of lies. He will not lie to you. And He will not do you wrong. He got your back. He knows what's going on. But whatever He say, as we trust it, there's a great joy in it. After things are finished, you say, oh, you know, it's like how Mary described the seraphims, how they cry, holy, 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 and then they see something else. Holy, holy, it's like that. It's great joy in following God. So I'm experiencing the joy of the Lord on greater levels. And I try to get other people on board, and it's a wrestling match. I'm like, God is good, and people need this. They need to know this. They need to know how valuable they are. They need to know what they can be. They need to know what they can accomplish. So I saw flaws in ministries. Because God, He talked to me about why, He said the biggest challenge is people don't follow Him. So a great part of my ministry was helping people follow God. I wanted to teach other things. Now, He was teaching me things personally, but when I go minister, it always ended up following God. Kind of like Charles Capps always taught on confession. And He gave me revelation, and I had no vehicle to share. I would meet people on the elevator, and in a brief conversation, I knew they needed the revelation I had. I said, Lord, I don't like that. I can't stop in my day and that day and fill them in. I said, I need a vehicle to some way to minister to people. He gave me, and He kept giving me all these poems. I passed them out at church. And then one day I was just laying across the bed.
Minding your business. Minding
my own business. And then He said, Living Letter Ministries. That's all He said. And I knew what to do. I knew to mail it out and put people on the list. So I started getting strangers' addresses. I said, I got a ministry called Living Letter Ministries. If you give me your address, I'll share it with you. Yeah, they give me an address. So people that I met that I sensed that they needed the revelation, God had me write it down in poems. And it was very effective. Then when He gave me the radio, I did the mail outs till half of them started coming back. Then I stopped. The radio ministry takes so much effort to do. When I retire, I might crank up the Living Letter Ministries again, the mail out. It takes a lot of effort to do that. But it's working, and it's increasing. When you follow God, everything increases. Your joy, your strength, your peace, your advice. your skill. You know, you know, God will help the people. There are people out there that will listen to you, and he'll cause you to cross their path. The Lord thinks of everything. All the injustice in your life, everything that went wrong, God is able to correct it. Now, we're about to get raptured. And you know what happens when you're about to get raptured. You increase. Jacob raptured his family. He worked for Laban between 7 years apiece for his daughters and 6 years for his cattle. And then the Lord told him to leave. He raptured his family.
Abraham raptured himself.
And he didn't leave out empty. Great spiritual wealth was on his life. And the day came, the Lord told him when to go, and he did. Then Laban caught up with him and took him to court, because somebody took one of his idols. When you're going into rapture, you leave the idols behind. And Rachel stole, you know, that delayed everything.